Thank you so much for that song. Thank you, everyone who's been participating today. I don't know if all of you will be here participating next week, or maybe the live stream happens from the comforts of my home, being sent out to the rest of the church family. But we move forward. In what we're able to do in the here and now, we can move forward. Thank you, George, for sitting all the way back there. That way I have a little bit of a variety of who I can look at as I speak. Granted, I'm also looking at you online. Before we get into this morning's message, this Sabbath, this day, March 21st, was supposed to be Global Youth Day. And those plans were greatly affected, not just here locally, but around the world. But yet there was still something that our youth and young adults still did, particularly for those in our community and church family that could be facing some concern, some worry, some anxiety. And I'd like to show a video of what they did at this moment. And figures. The last time I had stats and figures of those who were viewing the live stream, there was 60 downlinks. And so welcome to those who are watching. Oh, wonderful. That's a thing of beauty. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for how you are still working in control and what you are not only doing out in the world, but you want to do some things in us as well. We ask for your spirit to be present. May you help us to understand your word, your truth, and your desires in these last days. Speak to us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I started to welcome you, but I didn't tell you where I was welcoming you to. I'd like to welcome you to the Coronavirus Seventh-day Adventist Church. It sure seems like it, has it not? Because everywhere you turn, it's coronavirus this, coronavirus that, left and right. You go to the supermarket and you thought there were certain things. I remember going through Sherm's and the potatoes were gone. You go down other aisles to get hand sanitizer. You might want to find the recipe online and make it yourself. You try to find something for the bathroom, and good luck with that one. Maybe you stocked previously. Praise the Lord. But here's something that we're seeing in our streets. Nothing. Emptiness. In fact, we not only see that, but we get reports of how temperatures are being taken left and right, whether at the airport or at hospitals or medical clinics. And they tell us three things, basically. One, social distance yourself. Two, wash your hands with soap and water and keep the surfaces clean. And those are good things that we need to do. And praise the Lord as we put those things into practice. And left and right, things are closing. I think of maybe some of you who are being affected with your jobs because of these closures and quite worried. Not only do we see these things in our community and in the media, but we even see things coming from our government, known as 15 days to slow the spread and the following guidelines. This comes from the president's desk, and we see him almost giving daily news briefings in regards to this topic. And he's typically not accompanied, but there's another short guy next to him, bless his heart, Dr. Fauci. And we've come to know who he is, at least his medical expertise. And what we are hearing, we try to put in practice, but the reality is that these effects are not only being seen in the United States of America. In Paris, it's there. In Italy, it's there. In Kazakhstan, a sister of Sayuri's friend, it's there. So we not only have a local issue, we not have a state issue, we not only have a country issue, this is a world issue that we're facing right now. Our schools are closed, and the question isn't anymore what's closed. The question is, what's open? Is this open? Is that open? In fact, when was it? I think it was Monday? All the days seem the same. Hopefully we all took showers. I was talking with my best friend out in New York, and he said he called me on his 15-minute break because he's working from home, and he said he took a shower on his work break because he remembered he needed to still take a shower. Praise the Lord. But you laugh, but maybe some of our viewers right now may have just remembered, oh, yeah, I need to do that too. No, I think you did already. But we are seeing ourselves get further and further apart from each other. And you might be tempted to think, what is the church doing? This graphic is a scene from the Civil War. And we could be asking ourselves, is there nothing we have to offer as a church? What are we doing as a church in this crisis? Are we retreating like in this picture, like the South retreating? Or are we moving forward? One of the reasons that we could have a hard time with certain parts of our amazing message as a church is because maybe we have yet to fully grasp it. Because a church moves forward in one direction, what could be one of those areas of our message as a church that we might have issues with? Well, maybe, just maybe, it could have something to do with our health message. I mean, if there's ever a time in which we are needing the health message, I think it's right now, don't you think? It's when we live the health message that we can share the health message. Why would the health message be so important? Maybe, just maybe, it's exactly that will greatly reduce the probability of us contracting the coronavirus. The Bible says in Exodus 15, verse 26, if you don't see it on the screen, it's because it's not on the screen. Turn with me. Exodus 15, 26. The Bible says, I'll give you a moment to look it up. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in whose sight? In his sight. And will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these what? Diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that does what? Healeth. When we listen to what God has told us in his word, morally speaking, and health-wise as well, then God removes or protects us from these diseases that come upon the land. And you could be thinking, could this coronavirus, could this be the end of the world? We could be tempted to think that. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in Matthew 24, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Some of us are troubled. Some of us had trouble sleeping this week. See that, how many of you? See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. I praise the Lord for the work that here locally at our church, Shelby Philly has been doing. In talking to us and sharing with us and giving opportunity to learn and incorporate what's known as New Start, the 8 natural health remedies. And it starts with N, nutrition. Doesn't that look delicious? Don't you love it when the pastor talks about food before lunchtime? It's berries that are very, very high antioxidants. Not just that, but plums as well. Vegetable-wise, we have our broccoli, kale. We had some amazing kale with red onion and some avocado and a touch of salt, doused in lime. Ooh, man, that was amazing. In fact, I might have some this afternoon. And some spinach. These are amazing antioxidants, and they're like cheap. Like just one stalk of kale, maybe a dollar, if that. And also garlic is a great antioxidant. You want an argument for a plant-based diet? Well, coronavirus is a huge argument, if you ask me. But you know, these things, one of the reasons why it's important that we incorporate proper nutrition in a plant-based diet is because this directly affects our immune system. I believe in socially distancing myself. I believe in washing my hands very frequently. I believe in keeping things clean. But if that is all that we're doing, those are just outside things. The real issue is what's going on in my system. And so, new start. The N stands for nutrition. And that would also, if we're talking about our immune system and keeping it functioning, that means we got to stay away from these kind of things. I mean, granted, you might be having a Snickers bars right now because you think Pastor Tony's going to be preaching for a while. But no, stay away from these things because they bring our defenses down. It's no coincidence that after Halloween, all of candy, Christmas time, all of the sweets, and Thanksgiving, and Valentine's Day, and Easter, that people get really, really sick. Why? All of the sweets that have been going into their systems. That's N. What's E? Exercise. This has been, it wasn't always this way, but lately it's been very challenging for me to exercise. And this past week, Sayuri said, honey, let's get moving. And so we started walking more, and we were doing some squats and push-ups and stretching and all this good stuff. That's E, exercise. W is what? Water. Drink plenty of water. A rule of thumb of how much water you need to be drinking is the color of the water that entered your body. You know you have enough water when it's the same color going out. Because everybody's body composition is different. But that's not the only thing in regards to water. At our most recent board meeting, we voted to install one of these in the pastor's backyard. No, that's not what happened at the board meeting. But if you look on the screen, here is a nice cold water pool and a hot water jacuzzi. And you might be thinking like myself, but Pastor, I don't have that in my backyard as much as I would like to have it. Oh, I have good news for you. Can you do this? I think so. Yeah? I don't see any hands going up. Okay. Can you do this? Oh, you got some hydrotherapy going on. You can turn on the hot water and then turn on the cold water. Give or take, our ratio is maybe 3 minute hot, 1 minute cold. And you will, and doing that a few rounds and ending in the cold, you will feel alive. Your immune system says, I'm ready to go. And we've been doing this more and more this past week. And at the beginning of the week, I was kind of feeling like maybe some allergy stuff was starting. But lo and behold, I feel amazing this Sabbath morning. That's W. It's the water intake and it's the hydrotherapy that we should do how often? Daily. That's W. S, sunlight. We've been so blessed this past week to have tons of sunlight. I don't know if you had the opportunity to take advantage of it. This Wednesday on, we've been doing some Facebook Live events, and I'd see myself there. I was like, I look a little rosy, and that must be from the sunlight. There's plenty of sunlight today, so after you finish this worship service online and here in the presence, have your lunch, but get some vitamin D from our wonderful sun in the sky. That's F-R-E-E, free. But not just that, but that's S. T. What is T? Temperance. That's staying away from smoking and alcohol. I know some people say, oh, but just a glass of wine will help you out. Well, you get the same properties in grape juice without the wine. I'm so glad that's the only thing that we need to worry about in regards to temperance. But Proverbs says, have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit. Because the adage says moderation in everything. But guess what? Everything is not good. We should have moderation in what is good and not even incorporate anything of what is bad. That is T. That brings us to A. As you're getting that vitamin D, you can take some deep breaths and enjoy the fresh air. We're so blessed to be in the Umpqua Valley to be able to have clean air. I remember when I moved to San Jose, California, and back in the days when golf happened, and I was on the tee box with a church member of mine, and I asked him, what's that? Is that a cloud, or is that smog? He said, no, that's smog. I said, wonderful. But fresh air is available right here, right now. Take advantage of it. That is the A. Let's get to the R. That is rest. I mean, this guy, he's sleeping so well, he even looks happy. Amen? I don't know if your rest last night was happy rest. In fact, there's even stats that prove that the rest you have Friday night is the best rest that you get the whole week, because that's the Sabbath blessing. Or could it be that your rest is more like this? Your eyes are wide open. You see what the clock says? It's 3:00 in the morning, and you can't sleep. Not only can't you sleep, but that affects the rest of the day. And your rest, or the lack of it, affects your what? Immune system. That's what we're talking about. That is R. That leaves us one last letter. T. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord. Trust his word. Believe his word that he will do exactly what he said he will do. So is God simply trying just to keep us healthy? Is that just what God is wanting to do? I mean, us being healthy is nice, but that's just a piece of the puzzle. He wants us to be healthy so that people will want to know how we got healthy. Why don't we suffer from the maladies and diseases that everybody else is? What should be our purpose with being healthy? Number one, to glorify God. And number two, so we can tell somebody about Jesus. Because how do we tell somebody about Jesus if we got coronavirus? My brother-in-law, before Italy shut down, was in Italy 30 minutes away from Venice on business and had to fly out right before things shut down. And he's been in quarantine for these last 2 weeks. He was wanting to make sure he had no coronavirus. Everybody has been affected by this. I was looking some news articles, and I came across a segment. Even TV is being affected. Jimmy Fallon, I don't necessarily watch his show per se, But what caught my attention in this article was that he was filming his program from home, as everybody else is. And the article was focusing on the fact that during his broadcast from home, his daughter interrupted things. And I said, oh, I know that feeling. And so I could relate to what Jimmy Fallon was doing as he was having an interview with Jennifer Gardner. And as they were talking back and forth, it was interesting what they said. They were really enjoying the time home together as they had an opportunity to reconnect with their family. Interesting. Just let that simmer for a little bit. I know coronavirus will pass. How do I know? Because the Bible predicts that pestilences would be signs of what? Jesus' second coming. The Bible does not say that a disease is going to destroy all humanity. That's not what the Bible says. What the Bible does predict is that there will be a day that is legislated by government in which we will have to worship on Sunday. And maybe before we, last week, thinking that something like that could happen, for in our minds, we were thinking, how could government basically shut things down so quickly as it pertains to the Sunday law? Well, we just saw government shut things down very, very quickly with this coronavirus. How long did it take? Boom. It was done like that. We think it's going to take a long time for the Sunday law to be passed, but if the government shut down things over coronavirus in 1 week, what makes us think it'll take a long time with the Sunday law? My point is, not so that we can be afraid, not to be worried, but my question is, what are we doing? Wednesday morning, our little boy at home, he uses his pretty little lungs to make sure that we were not sleeping at 3-something in the morning. And it was Sayuri's shift. Praise the Lord. And she tried doing this and doing that, and that little brother would not quiet down for anything. And I'm, not only was I trying to fall back asleep, I was starting to get mad about it. Because I wish I was sleeping. I'm trying to get rest because rest affects my what? Immune system. So now maybe this guy's going to get me sick. And so there I'm saying, Lord, may you quiet down that baby. May I please fall asleep? And then God said, maybe you need to stop worrying about yourself. And he impressed me to start a new Bible study. Not in somebody's home, per se, not at the church, not at the BOC, but a Bible study online. A Bible study with everybody in my network. I didn't know who was going to respond. I know, Margie, you responded, you were there. But that Bible study has been viewed over 600 times. People around the world, family members in Mexico who were staunch Catholics were watching and said, we're going to look up every text so that we can understand more. People in Australia, people in Kazakhstan, people on the East Coast, people who I had not heard from in 30 years. Yeah, I know, I just dated myself. hearing about the Word of God. You see, the Bible says that we're to take the gospel starting in Jerusalem. That's my Jerusalem. It's not limited to there, but from there it's to go on out further and further. And the issue isn't what Pastor Tony's doing. The issue is, what are you doing? What am I doing? What are we doing individually in this time? I saw a post this past week that had this: closing churches to stop coronavirus isn't yet Revelation 13 that talks about the Sunday law. It's Leviticus 13, which talks about safety, isolations that were to be done by those who contracted leprosy. So act like it's 1 Corinthians, that's love chapter, till Romans 13 runs its course, which is where God uses government to bring about his purposes. And I said to myself, there's truth and untruth in that statement. Because it almost sounds as if it's a different gospel there. It almost sounds like something that says peace and safety. Relax, let things take its course. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Everything's going to be okay. Will this pestilence pass? Yes, it will. But my Bible doesn't necessarily tell me to sit. My Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, go. Paul writes, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child." And they, who's that they? Because the we got faith. The we are the ones who trust and put God's word into practice. The they are the ones who disbelieve God and his word. And I may not be preaching from Revelation today as we have been going bit by bit through the book of Revelation, but guess what? We're living Revelation. It's happening right before our eyes, and if you're not careful, you could miss something. This past week, we saw something that maybe it didn't seem much to you. In one of the president's address, he chose to do something that caught my attention, at least. In the way that he spoke, he could have done it in a myriad of ways. But he chose to do this. He used a certain term as it pertains to where the coronavirus originated. Rather than using coronavirus, he said the Chinese virus. I'm not here to, I believe the platform is not a political platform, but this is where we have to lift up our heads and see what's going on. Check this out. Those who honor the law of God have been accused of bringing judgments upon the world, and they will be regarded as the cause of the fearful convulsions of nature and the strife and bloodshed among men that are filling the earth with woe. The power attending the last warning has enraged the wicked. Their anger is kindled against all who have received the message, and Satan will excite to still greater intensity the spirit of hatred and persecution. Am I saying that this is a direct correlation? No. But we're starting to see finger pointing. We're starting to see, what's the cause of all of this? And direction being focused in ways that may not necessarily be, what's the good way to put it? Prudent. As Seventh-day Adventists, what a rich faith we have. And when I think about the pillars of our faith, known as the five S's, the sanctuary, the second coming, the Sabbath, the spirit of prophecy, and what's the last S? The state of the dead. And the Bible's very clear on that. The dead know what?
Nothing.
They don't know a thing. Therefore, they can't talk. They have no memory. They can't praise God. In that very day that they perish, their thoughts are gone. They're not thinking. They're not talking. They know nothing. Question. What do we know? We know the truth. And since we know the truth, could we tempted to act as if we know nothing? Tempted to think we know nothing in regards to what will be a benefit to the people today, right now, as it pertains to their physical health and their eternal health. It's the dead who know nothing. It's thus those of us who are alive who know something. And since we do know something, maybe God wants to use us to share what we know. And you could be tempted to say, but Pastor, I don't feel I'm capable. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do. I'm not even sure if I'm willing. I believe that God prepares and equips those who are willing. If God can use a sword-wielding fisherman who had the mouth of a sailor to preach the gospel, how much more can he use you and I? We are not living in the first days. We're living in the last days. The agencies of evil are combining their forces and consolidating. They are strengthening for the last great crisis. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. And so, is this coronavirus the end of the world? No, it's not. Is it a sign that Jesus is coming back soon? Yes, it is. And we're seeing step by step by step, the dominoes get in position to fall. But Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. Even if 99% of the choir is not physically present here at church, but you're watching, I know you are, and lunch is not yet. We'll get there soon. But we call ourselves Christians, amen? Seventh-day Adventist Christians. And what do Christians do? Well, what did Jesus do? The Bible says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was what? Moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, kind of like we are now. Like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The Bible says the harvest is ready. It's ripe for the picking. Laborers, oh, not that many, Pastor. And Jesus said, pray. For those of you who have access to Facebook, 8 p.m. every night, we come together to pray. I invite you, come. It's just a click. You can do it in your house, in your favorite chair. And not just tune in, but pray. There's people praying that maybe we don't see them much, but they're praying. There's people praying that have told me, Pastor, don't pray for me. You laugh. I tell the truth. And they're not just saying, pray for this and this and this. They themselves are praying. So what do the multitudes need now? Number one, the health message. Number two, is something like this. I was looking in my den. I really don't use the den much these days because everything happens upstairs with the little ones. Because you need to focus on what you need to do very quickly because you only have so much time. And I realized that in the den, I had this nice little handy-dandy trumpet. And I must confess, I play horrible trumpet. But this morning, I picked it up. And I wondered, can something still come out musical from this thing and this big old mouth? And maybe maybe something will come out. Maybe I can't play the rest of the song right now because I play so horribly. But what if I kept at it? What if I continued to use this gift to be a blessing to somebody else? I wonder if maybe the multitudes need to be blessed by the gifts that God have given us. Maybe your gift is cooking. Cook them something good. Bake them something. Maybe your gift is carpentry. Visit one of your neighbors. Always have your antennas up to see what they need. Maybe you can make them something carpentry-wise. Maybe their lawn needs mowing. Mow their lawn. We got plenty of time available on our hands. What are we doing with it? In my case, it was a simple Bible study, but it's not limited to that. There's definitely some other things far and beyond a Facebook Bible study, far and beyond the little trumpet, many, many other things. What does God want you to do with the gifts that he's given you so that you can bless somebody, so that they may have a softened heart and may want to hear the everlasting gospel? This is what the multitudes need today. Guess who has these things? You have it, and I have it. But you having it and I having it is of little use if we don't use it and if we don't share it. As you heard the trumpet, we don't put down the trumpet. We lift up the trumpet, and loud we let it ring. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. If you have yet to put these health principles into your life, do it now. The grand majority is free and inexpensive. And once you do it, tell somebody. Bless somebody with your gifts and pray that God opens a door so that either you tell the everlasting gospel through you, or maybe you tell them, hey, my pastor has a Facebook Live event going on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. You may want to join in. If you want to not only see that the harvest is plentiful, but you want to be able to feed the harvest, I'd like to invite you to stand right there where you are. It's not time to be afraid. It's not time to be worried. It is time that our church, you and I, move forward as soon Jesus will come.
We'll be singing hymn number 213, Jesus is Coming Again.
Thank you, Father, because you have given us your sure word of prophecy. Thank you that we don't have to wonder what will come. You have told us clearly in your word. Father, help us to believe your word. Help us to trust your word. Help us to live by your word. Father, thank you for opening an amazing opportunity to reach our community here in Roseburg and beyond. May we not take advantage of this opening of this door to reach the lost. The fields truly are ripe. I don't know who will be coming as a result of how you move us today, but I believe souls will be brought by how we share this health message. Souls will be brought as we bless others with the talents you've given us. And souls will be brought as we have opportunity to share this everlasting gospel. So send us your spirit. It is the dead that know nothing. It is those of us who are alive who do know. And since we do know, may you help us to be willing. In you we trust as we prepare to meet Jesus in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.